Well, good evening, and can I welcome you to our broadcast tonight? Thank you for taking the time to join with us, wherever you're tuning in from. And I know that there are people listening from a wide variety of locations, and we greatly appreciate you tuning in and supporting our ministry as we bring it to you in these unprecedented times. Can I especially welcome our own church family? And I know I've been in touch with many of you, and I hope that you're all keeping well and that you're looking after yourself. And I know that these are difficult days, but the Lord is good and the Lord is with us. And certainly tonight we're going to think about that from His own word. On a Wednesday night, as you'll know, we're well into the routine now that we're gathering together remotely around the Word of God for about half an hour, and then we're encouraging you from 8:30 until 9:00 to pray, and to pray specifically for the needs of our fellowship and the needs of our church family and for one another, and of course the needs of our country at this time. I'm going to give you a few prayer pointers at the end of the service this evening, but for now let's turn in God's Word to Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43, and I want to read the first 7 verses with you this evening. Isaiah chapter number 43, and we'll commence reading at verse number 1 down to verse number 7. Isaiah writes, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring many sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And that'll do us for our reading this evening. And for now, let's just pause and let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to bless our thoughts together this evening. Father, we do thank you for your word to our hearts, Lord. We thank you that in these days when so much has been stripped away, we thank you we still have the living word of God. And Lord, as we read it, we know that you speak to us. And Lord, that's our desire tonight, Lord, as we come together as a church family remotely. Lord, as we're gathered in spirit, we do pray that you'd be pleased to speak to us from your own precious word. We pray for the Spirit of God just to hammer home these truths to our hearts, these unchanging truths that we can take and we can apply, and Lord, we can stand upon. Lord, your word, one of the wee choruses reminds us that we're to stand upon the promises of God. And Lord, there's a promise here tonight for us, and we pray in these days that you'll help us to stand upon it. And we ask that you'll bless your word to your own people's hearts, we pray. Whatever their need is, we thank you we come to the God who can meet all of our needs. And we ask this evening that you would meet those through your own word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On a Wednesday night, we have been looking at different words of encouragement, different promises, different exhortations that will help us in these days. And of course, we're living in precarious days. We're living in days of uncertainty. And of course, we're sailing uncharted waters. And as we think about waters, we have a verse here that speaks about passing through waters. In fact, passing through deep waters. And this evening, I don't know where you are in all of this that's going on. I don't know how you feel, but I want to give tonight or draw our attention to a precious promise for a precarious time. A precious promise for a precarious time. It's found here in the second verse of Isaiah Chapter 43. Now, Isaiah 43 is a very important chapter prophetically for the future time. It's a chapter that relates primarily to Israel. It was written for Israel, and it has been given primarily for them. However, there are things here that you and I can apply as believers. As we look at the chapter together, and as it's written by Isaiah the prophet to Israel, verse 1 opens with God's affinity with and his affection for Israel. Because in verse 1 he says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob," that's Israel, "and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And here we have a verse that tells us of God's affinity with Israel and God's affection for Israel. Many people think that Israel is finished. Many people think that the church has replaced Israel. But Israel has a special place in the heart of God. And today Israel has been set aside in blindness while God deals with us, the church. But God will turn again to Israel because they have a special place in his heart. In verse number 1, we read that God has created Israel, that God has called Israel for his own purpose, that God has claimed Israel as his own, and God cherishes Israel. In verse 2 then, that builds on from verse 1, we have the promise then. As we have this verse 1 of affection and affinity, verse 2 gives was a promise given to Israel, a promise of protection and a promise of preservation. And you know, verse 2 has already been proved by Israel in history. Because in verse 2, the Lord says that when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you know, this promise, as far as Israel is concerned, has been proved in history. Israel has passed through many, many waters in their history that should have extinguished them. Yet today, Israel is a living nation. The Jew still exists, and it's a miracle. And the reason is because of this promise. But you know, not only has this promise already been proved in the past by Israel, but it's a promise that's yet to be proved in the future. Because we believe that God's word teaches that Israel will shortly pass through the deepest waters of their history. The waters of the tribulation, which should extinguish them, and yet the Bible says that they will survive. That Israel will be saved. And it's a pivotal promise here, pointing to the fact that God is preserving Israel for future purposes. But we don't want to think about it in its prophetic context tonight. But we want to take this verse and we want to borrow it for ourselves today. And we want to take a promise that we can apply in the world that we're living in. We want to look at this precious promise for a precarious time. You see, the great truth for you and I who are saved tonight, we have been created, we have been called, we have been claimed, and we are cherished by God. We can take what the Lord says about Israel in verse 1 and we can apply it to ourselves today, that we've been created, that God has called us into relationship with himself, that God has claimed us, and that God greatly cherishes every child of God. You know, while I believe with all my heart that while we won't pass through the coming waters of tribulation, here's the reality. As Christians, we do pass through testing waters of trouble. And we're passing through those kind of waters at the minute. We're passing through waters of trouble. And you know, the Christian life is a life of ups and downs. It's a life of triumph and trial. It's a life of sometimes swimming, sometimes sinking. And you know, when we're in triumph, the waters that we walk through seem shallow. But when we're in trial, the waters seem deep. And today, all around us, it can seem like we're swimming in deep waters. But Isaiah 43 and verse 2 is a promise that we can stand upon as we pass through deep waters. We have a promise for precarious times. And you know, the thing about this promise is it's a promise we can't fathom. We can't fathom how the Lord goes with us. Any child of God that's been on the road long enough knows it's a promise we can't always feel. Sometimes it doesn't feel like the Lord's with us. You know, it's a promise that the devil will try to make us forget. The devil will try to make us forget that God is with us. But here's the thing, this is a promise that's full of facts that you and I need to remember in these days. I want to just draw our hearts to three very simple devotional thoughts as we think about verse number 2, this precious promise built in verse 1 that we're created, that we're claimed, that we're cherished, and how that God has called us. And so being the children of God, there's a precious promise for these precarious times. The first thing I want us to think about is right at the very start of the verse, just one word, and it's the word then, and it reminds us of a path to be expected. You see, the Lord said, when thou passest through the waters, there's a path to be expected. The verse doesn't say, if thou passest through the waters, or when thou passest over the waters. It says, when thou passest through the waters, not if, not but when. Here's the truth, as you and I are seeing today. Salvation does not give us immunity from trial and trouble in life. Salvation does not grant us immunity from coronavirus. Many of God's children are facing and have suffered from this virus. Salvation does not grant us immunity from the trials and troubles of life. And this is where so many Christians have been left crushed and have been left confused in their faith. They have not come to expect the presence of trouble in their new pathway that they're walking. So many Christians feel that now that God is on my side, then he should save me from suffering, that God should grant me immunity from everything that's going on in the world. Often, and you know, obviously this applies to times outside of our times that we're living in today, but in the everyday trials of life, so many people think that so long as I'm obedient, God will spare me the suffering. When that doesn't happen and the hardship comes to dock in our lives for a while, many Christians crumble. They try to trace in their steps where they've went wrong. They think that God is punishing them by allowing them to go through difficult days. And so many believers, when they find themselves in deep waters, they lose their fight, they lose their fervency, and they lose their fire in deep waters. And here's a very real thing today. It's so very possible, as we are set back and as we are not able to do what we want to do, isn't it so very easy that we could lose our fire? Don't lose your fire, Christian, tonight. Don't lose your fight. Don't lose your faith. The Lord is with you. And the principle here and throughout Scripture is not that God saves us from suffering, but that God sustains us through it. Suffering is not a possibility in our Christian lives, it's an inevitability. We are fallen creatures living in a fallen world, and until we get to glory, we will sadly suffer. James, writing something similar in James chapter 1 and verse 2, says, my brethren, count it all joy when, not if, when ye fall into diverse temptations or different troubles or trials. And yes, sometimes God does use trials to correct us, but oftentimes God uses trials to perfect us. James goes on in verse 3 of chapter 1 and he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If I just take out that last word, patience, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh. God is working as he tries our faith. I know so often he's working patience. And you know, in these days, we all have need of patience. Now, patience is easy preached and it's hard to practice. But as believers, we must factor in the reality that passing through deep waters is part of the normal Christian life. In fact, if we never face trials, that would be contrary to what the Bible teaches. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, as Peter writes, to encourage believers who were under persecution and who were facing trials of different kinds, he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as some strange thing that has happened to you. In other words, Peter is saying, you're going through a difficult time. This is not strange. This is part of God's purpose and plan. Do you know, as believers, the world is, of course, is passing through a very trying time at the moment. But as believers, we pass through all kinds of different trials. And maybe as you're going through this coronavirus experience and you're facing this pandemic in your own personal way, you're finding different aspects of it harder than some other people. You know, as believers, there's some believers are very content and they're dealing with this and they're very strong and they're taking each day as it comes. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're really struggling. Here's some of the waters that maybe you're passing through. Maybe tonight you're passing through stressful waters. Maybe you're an NHS worker. Maybe you're a nurse or a doctor or some other profession and you're really stressed tonight. Circumstances are getting on top of you. Elijah faced that. 1 Kings 19:4, it says, "But Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life.'" The circumstances of life just got too much for him. And he said, "It's enough, Lord." Maybe that's how you feel. So many of you are passing through fearful waters. Some are in stressful waters. Maybe you're in fearful waters tonight. You're fearful. In shallow waters, we can see the bottom. We can stand in the bottom because we know what's beneath us. But fear comes when we can't do either, when we can't see the bottom and we can't stand in the bottom. And tonight you're fearful. You don't know what the future holds for you, your health, your family, your business, your loved one, your spouse, whoever or whatever it is. And tonight, if you're deadly honest, you're swimming in fearful waters. Maybe it's painful waters. Maybe it's battling that illness. Maybe you have coronavirus tonight. You're discouraged and you're wondering how long this is going to last. Maybe you're nursing that loved one that has it. Maybe you have a loved one tonight that's in hospital with it and you're not seeing much progress and you're wondering, when is this going to end? Fighting depression, fighting an illness, whatever it is. Maybe if it's not stressful waters or fearful waters or painful waters, maybe it's sorrowful water. In the midst of this, you're facing heartbreak. Separation has struck. Maybe it's in lockdown that you're feeling the loss of that loved one in the year that has gone. And you know, this has magnified the sorrowful waters that you're in. John on the Isle of Patmos knew well the waters of separation. In his vision, he thanked the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth. There would be no more sea because John was cut off by waters of separation. I don't know what waters you're swimming in tonight. But here's the thing, the Bible says, when thou passest through, we're all passing through these days and experiencing different feelings as we do that. But here's the thing, don't be shocked, this is a path to be expected, and this is the way it'll be until we get to glory. But here's the great truth, it'll not always be this way, there's greater yet to come. Oh, there's a path to be expected, but as we move on in verse number 2, there's a presence to be embraced, because Isaiah writes, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the waters they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Here's a presence to be embraced. There's another certainty, because we already had one certainty, when thou pass through, there's certainty number one, but certainty number two is, I will be with thee. If you have nothing else to take away from the meeting tonight, if you're taking notes, write this little phrase down. Christians have the best company in the worst circumstances. Christians have the best company in the worst circumstances. Whatever, wherever, whenever we are or what we're going through. And here there's different kinds of waters mentioned. There was rivers and there was seas and there was fire and there was all kinds of things. Christ is always with us. We may not always be conscious of his presence. The psalmist wasn't always conscious of that. Listen, folks, tonight we can always be confident in his presence. It's a promise repeated right throughout the Bible, and I believe that God repeated this time and again because we forget and we're ruled by feelings, and God wanted to give us facts in his word. Psalm 139 Verse 7, Psalmist says, "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." John 14:18, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Hebrews 13:5, "He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, and I could go on and on and on. God really wants us to grasp that he will not leave his people. You know, if only we could greater grasp the unfathomable truth of God's omnipresence, that he is everywhere with us. Augustine writes these words. He says, God is an infinite circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Let me give you that again. God is an infinite circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. You're at this place tonight. Where is God? I do the little devotional. I've started doing a little devotional on a Monday on our Facebook page, A Word for the Week, and I took this very thought. Where is God? Where is God in my stress? Where is God in my fears? Where is God in my pain? Where is God in my sorrow? Where is God in my loneliness? Where is God in my lockdown? Where is God in my family? Where is God in my anxiety? Where is God? And I want to tell you tonight, on the authority of this verse, and I want you to grasp this promise tonight, he is in them. By his very nature, God cannot be anywhere other than everywhere. What was the name that was given to Jesus when he was born? Yes, it was Jesus, but it was Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Better than that, as believers today, he literally lives within us. John 14, Jesus told the disciples that he would be with them, but he was going away, and the Spirit would come and be within them. So that means that God cannot leave us. Who is this one that is within us? Well, verse 1, he is our Creator. The one that is with us is our Creator, the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent, the eternal one. God was the creator of this nation, Israel. He knew them both personally. He knew their path. He knew their personality. He had made them. Thing is, God made you and I tonight. He knows who we are. He knows how we're dealing with this because he's our Creator. That's why the psalmist could write in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then listen to these words, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but dust. As our father, he knows our frame, he knows our frailties, he knows our makeup, he knows our misery, he knows all about us. Why? Because he's not just our father, but he's our creator. Not only is he our creator, but in verse 1, he's also our redeemer. Because he said he's the one, I have redeemed thee. He's our redeemer, the one who orchestrated the redemption of Israel from Egypt. And he proved to them the lengths of their love. He says, I've claimed you as my own, and I cherish you more than you could ever imagine. He says that in verse 4, I have loved thee. Oh, listen, folks, tonight, not only is the Creator with us, but the man of Calvary is with us. The Lord loves us so much that he went to the cross of Calvary to die for us. And the Savior, or our Redeemer, is with us. Our Creator is with us. Our Redeemer is with us. But our Savior is with us because verse 3 says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. The Lord didn't only redeem Israel once in the past. He was their present and constant Savior in the present, time and again, saving them and sustaining them through hardship. And our Savior is the same. You see, we don't just have a Creator and a Redeemer, but praise God, we have a Savior who sustains us in life. No man stood with Paul, he could confidently say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. It said that when Prince Albert died, the Queen cried out of the deep waters of her grief, there will be no one now to call me Victoria. For the Christian, there's always one who knows and calls his own sheep by name. Oh, I want you to remember that tonight, that while there's a path to be expected, there's a presence to be embraced. Our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior is with us. He knows us by name. He knows our needs, our name, our nature, our frame, our frailties. You remember tonight that the Lord is with you in that hospital ward, on that hospital bed. as you face that shift, as you do that long day, as you're facing uncertainties, as you're working in shops, as whatever you're doing tonight, in the isolation of your home, the Lord is with you. Oh, and your home say amen to that. Hallelujah. He is with us. Oh, there's a path to be expected. There's a presence to be embraced. But finally, tonight, there's a promise to be emphasized. There's a promise to be emphasized. Because it goes on, and he says, when thou passest through the waters, there's the path to be expected. I will be with thee. There's the presence to be emphasized. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Here's a promise that needs to be emphasized constantly, because the devil will do all to erode it constantly. You see, when we're in deep waters, it'll look like we're never going to get out of them. As we look at this going on, we're wondering, is lockdown ever going to end? We thought about that last week. But as we think about a sickness, am I ever going to get better? This is going to be the end of me. This is going to overcome me. The presence of the Lord in our life is the assurance that we will not be overcome. Even if we lose our life, and I can't say that coronavirus, that all of us will escape this because we're believers, we may not. Essentially, it'll not overcome us, because we're on the victory side and we'll go to glory to be with the Lord. But as we face the trials of life and we think and the devil tells us that we're done and we're defeated and we can never rise again, John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As believers tonight, we have something the world hasn't got. We are on the victory side. We've got a strength and a sustaining Savior who has overcome the world, and we are in him. How can the overcomer of all things who indwells his children be overcome by anything we face? As we look at this and we think about that loved one, or we think about the circumstances, it's impossible for us. But is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He is bigger than our trials and our troubles. They may feel like they're going to overcome us, but they can't overcome the one in whom is our strength. The disciples in the boat with Christ where he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat, they forgot this fact. When the wind and the waves got up, Christ was asleep in the storm didn't even wake him. Later on, when it happened again, he walked on the waves, the very things that were going to take their life. He walked on them, he used them as steps to draw near to them. Can I say to you tonight, as your pastor, and as a preacher of God's word, as a word of encouragement, and I promise you this tonight, no matter how deep the waters, no matter how rapid the rivers, no matter how ferocious the fire, we will not be overcome. Deuteronomy 33:25, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. You're like Elijah, it's enough now, Lord. Can't do it anymore. This is going to overcome me. It's not. It's not. You'll get through. You just take each day as it comes. But here's what we've got to do in the midst of deep waters. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. That's where Peter got into problems. We must keep our heart on the Lord. That's where Thomas got into trouble. We must keep our hand in his. And you know, I want to say this as I close. While they're not pleasant, God does have a purpose in us passing through deep waters. And you say, aye, that's easy for you to say. Locked up at home, largely unaffected. I know that. But I want to tell you tonight, I know it's not pleasant, but God has a purpose in this. He has a purpose in this globally, but he has a purpose in this personally. Israel, in their history, passed through two significant waters. What were they? When they came out of Egypt, they passed through the Red Sea. And to get into Canaan, they had to pass over the River Jordan. They passed through two waters. But think about this. What was on the other side of each? New life. New beginning. New start. New beginning in the wilderness when they left Egypt. New beginning in Canaan when they crossed Jordan. One commentator says the Red Sea was the boundary line between bondage and freedom. The Jordan was the boundary line between wandering and rest, between hope and possession. And it seems as though such struggles were the birth throes of a new life. I don't know if you take your car into one of those whirly car washes. I don't, because I wouldn't want the car to get racked up the side, but maybe you do. But if you've ever been in one of those, I remember still as a little boy being in those, my father taking the car into those, and the brushes come down and the soap comes on and it whirls around, and when you're in the middle of that car, you can't see out of you, and there's lots of activity happening and you don't know what's going on, and it can actually be quite disorientating. And I know there's some children are quite scared in that. And then the water hits the car and it's quite ferocious, and then the dryer comes and the noise. But then it goes silent and the car emerges out the other side clean. You know, that's like the trials of life. Sometimes in the middle of them, where we are now, the brushes are whirling, the water is firing, the soap is going, the noises are going, and we're wondering what on earth is happening. But when we pass through the waters, they cleanse us, they sanctify us. The psalmist said in Psalm 66 and verse 12, "We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place." Here's the thing, folks. The Lord brought them through. In Isaiah 43 and 2, there's the promise to be emphasized. The Lord will bring us through. We will get through coronavirus. We will get back to church again. The Lord will bring us through this. But for now, we've got to sit tight. Oh, there's a path to be expected when thou passest through the river. There's a presence to be emphasized. I will be with thee. There's a promise that needs to be emphasized. There's a presence to be embraced. There's a promise to be emphasized. It shall not overflow thee. Oh, I want you to think about that tonight. As I close, I want to close with a poem. If anybody would like this poem, just text me and I'll send it to you, because the words on it are lovely and they're so appropriate for now. It was written by a lady, an American hymnist called Annie Johnson Flint in 1866. She was actually adopted as a little girl. She had aspirations. She wanted to be a teacher, and she finally fulfilled that goal. But she ended up riddled with arthritis as a young lady, and she actually had to retire, and she couldn't go on to fulfill her life's ambition of a career in education. She was actually left unable to walk or work. But listen to these words. Here's a lady speaking, penning, writing from experience. "When thou passest through the waters, deep the waves may be and cold, but Jehovah is our refuge, and his promise is our hold. For the Lord himself has said it, he the faithful God and true. When thou comest to the waters, thou shalt not go down, but through. Seas of sorrow, seas of trial, bitterest anguish, fiercest pain, rolling surges of temptation, sweeping over heart and brain. They shall never overflow us, for we know his word is true. All his waves and all those billows, he will lead us safely through. Threatening breakers of destruction, doubt's insidious undertow, shall not sink us, shall not drag us out to ocean depths of woe. For his promise shall sustain us. Praise the Lord whose word is true. We shall not go down or under. He hath said, though thou passest through." Oh, tonight you keep going. Keep the chin up. Keep going on. Because though this path may be expected, there's a presence to be embraced, and there's a promise to be emphasized that the Lord is with us. Oh, there's a precious promise for these precarious times.